All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's been a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back with another episode of Bruins and Two Beers.
Yeah, we took a little break here, Matt, and life gets in the way. It'll do that to you.
It does.
But
it does.
We've got a really special edition here.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it, Matt. I know you are too. First time ever.
Same room. This is big.
This is a big deal.
So we're coming to you live from Kyle's dining room table.
First time we've done this in the same area and not Skyped, which is exciting. And even more exciting, I'd say, is what we're drinking tonight, Matt. And then even more exciting than that is the game that we get to talk about coming up on Friday.
Yeah, so we're not even going to both go with beers this time. We have one beer, one consistent beer.
Kyle, we're not sharing the beer.
We're not sharing it.
We have our own beers.
Kyle came through in the clutch and was able to snag the legendary Heady Topper out of Alchemist Brewing. Kyle, you want to give a little background on this?
Sure.
You're the Vermont boy here.
Yeah, so it's a super popular Vermont beer. They're made out of Waterbury, Vermont. It's a double IPA. It's got a grapefruit flavor to it. It's just a really crisp, fantastically flavored, write that one down.
Yeah.
IPA, and it packs a punch at 8%. So these things are hotcakes. To this day, they sell out the day that they arrive at stores across Vermont. Chasing these things down is a real challenge, but they are delicious.
Yeah, hell yeah. Let's crack these bad boys open. Let's get this thing started.
Cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Oh, yeah.
We can do this live now. This is a big deal.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Holy cow, that's nice.
Huh?
Yeah. Did you have a good Christmas?
I had a great Christmas. Yeah, I know. It was nice to see you around.
I'm back. Back in the area. Yeah, nice Christmas as well. Not good. Not a lot of stuff. Just kind of hung out. I don't think I left the house all day. It was lovely.
Sweatpants and booze all day.
Hell yeah. But yeah, my dad's new kick is rum and warm cider. And so he's been drinking that.
Since Christmas to this moment. He's
like,
still...
No, it's back further. Like, my understanding, talking to my mother, and I think she's concerned, is that he's been putting these bad boys back since Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow.
One of my cousins came over and started making that at Thanksgiving. And now that's his thing. He heats up the cider in the crock pot, like throws as much rum as he wants in, and just goes to town. And I probably had three or four of those on
Christmas
Day.
Probably keep you nice and toasty.
Oh, it was lovely. It was great. So, anyways, it's time to get a little hockey. We haven't talked hockey in a while, right?
We haven't. I know. Like I said, been busy, both of us individually, so it's been tough to get it in, and it's always tough to get it in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's been a good stretch here for the boys. Last we talked, we were still kind of working our way out of our losing ways.
Yeah.
Went on a real nice point streak. And the last four...
November was nice.
November was great.
Yeah.
So the last four games in particular we'll talk about because we struggled a bit of late. Did close out with a nice win yesterday hosting Ottawa. Before that, lost basically to Craig Anderson in Ottawa. Tough way to go against the Sabres. That's probably the one game in the four you want to have back, giving up the two-goal lead in the third.
Definitely.
And then another really good game in St. Louis where, they scored two goals late in the third, but overall it was a goalie battle and not a game that you look back and say, we should have done better. It was just a solid performance, and they got beat that night.
Yeah, that was the one game that stood out to me as being particularly impressive by both teams. I mean, it was a clean, physical, heavy game between two, I think very, very good teams and two teams that were on a bit of a roll there. I think, obviously a large majority of people would sit there and go, St. Louis is one of the top teams in this league going into this season, and they've shown it. They're sitting at 50 points right now and actually pushing Dallas a little bit out west. So they're a really good team. There's not too much you can do there. You obviously like to see him stick a few more in the net there, but the goalie for St. Louis there absolutely stood on his head. He's incredible.
And I think anytime we can play physically against a Western Conference team, you got to take away, be proud coming away from that because it's a more physical league. They play a different style of hockey, and the Bruins can match that level of physicality. It's a good thing to look at going down the stretch and into the playoffs.
Yeah. To your point, I guess out of that stretch, the only dud I would see is the Buffalo game as well. I was actually at that game. Spent the money, sat on the glass in the corner, and watched them absolutely lay an egg.
That sucks.
In the third. But I don't know. I'm kind of okay writing that one off a little bit. I was talking to some people about it, and I think there's something to be said for playing, playing at home the day after Christmas, right? Like the amount of shit that's going on around Christmas time for everybody, let alone these guys. I guarantee you these guys are having family come into town and everything. They got kids running around, shrapnel everywhere in the living room. They're dealing with all that the day before, and then they have to get up and play the next day, whereas Buffalo's kind of able to detach a little bit, come in and start fresh.
They spent the night in the hotel, exactly. So they're probably a little bit better rested.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. And the November and December that they've had, you kind of got to say, well, in the NHL, those streaks don't last.
Yeah.
And they're going to lay an egg. They're going to drop a game. So, okay to see it there. You just don't want to see that become any kind of trend.
Totally. It was funny after that game. It was, as I'm walking out of there, and you hear people already starting to go, Jesus, two in a row. You know, lost two in a row. It's time to trade Chara. Claude's got to go. It's like, God sakes, guys. You know, it's they.
We're a brutal fan base.
It's tough there.
We don't apologize.
A lot of idiots mm-hmm. out there. A lot of idiots. But
I will say credit to Claude for what he's done this year with a totally overturned roster.
Dude, incredible.
Yeah, it was a bad start, but look at where we are now. 3 points outside of first place in the conference, in the division. And definitely in a good spot talking about the playoff picture.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest things I'd say, and coming into the season, it was interesting because guys like Felger, and I know we said it as well, is like people were saying, you know, a couple things. Claude can't coach youth. Claude's lost the room. People aren't playing for him anymore. I mean, if this last game against Ottawa specifically and kind of coming off those three losses tells you anything, it's that the exact opposite is true, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so he goes and shifts Hazer down to the fourth line, drops Connolly down to the third line and everything like that. And what do? They go out and respond. He shifts Spooner up and finally gives them those big minutes on the top line there. And what does he do? He goes and pots a goal there. So he's you know, if nothing else, he clearly hasn't lost the room. And he's obviously, you know, shown an incredible ability to bring along young talent. Because I think a lot of these young guys are getting better by the day, which is pretty cool.
And I think smart fans never really doubted Claude's control of the room. No. and his hold on the team. I think that was people calling for his head. You know, it's the witch hunt style of Boston media sports.
Yeah,
fans.
I mean, you got Felger saying I think he called him, this was like right after those first two games, because we have a lame duck coach in here that we need to get out as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Idiots.
Yeah, so clearly not the case. But I mean, I don't know, the whole response after the three was pretty damn good. Obviously you want to have that one, the one away in Ottawa. I thought mm-hmm. they absolutely pummeled them that game. But
48 shots,
was it 48?
48 shots. And they were quality, many of them were quality shots. Craig Anderson stood on his head. So yeah. You know, like that again, in this league, that's gonna happen. A goalie is gonna steal a game. And they actually played a stat last night that when he sees 35 or more shots, he's like 8-1-2. But when he sees 35 or less, he's like 7-9 or so.
Really?
Like, yeah, so that's some weird stat. So some goalies get better the more they see, and I think he's one of them. But he just had a night, and you can't be upset at that.
And how about the response last night, though?
Yeah, unbelievable. I think the key things there, great overall game.
Yeah.
But to see guys like Jimmy Hayes and Bielski have big games in Krejci's absence is huge, because we've seen it last year how much this team can struggle when Krejci is not in.
Yeah.
And it's going to be those two guys. I look to Ryan Spooner, who's had a good season already, but you got to have these middle of the road guys step up and fulfill some of the void that Krejci's left.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're definitely doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of to the point about the collective, right? Like, you can tell these guys are all kind of pulling the rope at the same time there, mm-hmm. which is big. It's awesome.
Another thing, I cut you off there. The big thing I saw last night, I was going to kind of get into later, is I see much more of the defensive layering that we saw 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Where it's so hard to penetrate the zone. When they do, it's hard. They don't give up the middle of the ice. That's a quick shout out to Hank for the background noise there. You're welcome.
We got a dog in a room.
He's a celebrity guest. So I see this defensive structure that the Bruins built off of years ago, and it makes me very optimistic about what we've got in front of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of, you know, and I think we're seeing it. I mean, that's kind of the biggest downside of this team coming into the season early on, and they've definitely addressed it, and they're getting, and I think we said it early, right? Like, that was as bad as it's gonna get, and they've gotten better. It seems like every single time they go out there, they've gotten more comfortable, they've gotten more cohesive defensively. And the penalty kill is showing. I think right now they're 12th in the league in penalty kill. Right.
That was another big point of how they turned the PK around.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, to go from being 30th in the league to 12th in the league in a matter of, you know, maybe a month. Mm-hmm. Something that's ridiculous.
Huge. And at one point they were like, what, 28 in a row or something? They had 20, yeah. High 20s in a row that they've killed.
I think they've only given up like a couple power play goals in the last 56 opportunities or something like that, which is,
we'll take it.
You can't really ask for much more than that. Those are definitely kind of the biggest takeaways from that as well. You know, another one for me would be the play of guys stepping in. To your point, you got Hayes and Connolly coming in, but also Talbot stepping in for Kampainen.
He had a huge game last night.
He's been playing really well.
He has been playing well.
That was a bullshit suspension, by the way, yeah. I thought. You know, he's never been suspended before. He's never even really had a call, like a disciplinary call, generally speaking. So he's been awesome. I think he's clearly a good guy for the Roma and everything, too.
I think what we're seeing, too, in the Road to the Winter Classic is how much of a locker room guy he is.
Yeah.
What he does for
loves the showers. Loves the locker room.
But I think he's done a lot to build the cohesiveness of the team. And totally. So credit to him.
Yeah, I liked the one bit where he's talking to Spoons about fighting the guy.
About right when Spoon dropped the gloves. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah, so he was pretty fired up about that. But yeah, so you know, good last four games.
Definitely. Yeah, so I mean, again, everything's positive right now.
Yeah,
I don't look at that 3-game skid as a negative. You know, those are going to happen, and we're in a good place right now. So.
What did you think of the end of the game last night? A little bit.
Yeah, so I was the optimistic fan last night, and I turned it off when they went up 6-3, and too bad I missed it. I did watch the replays on YouTube this morning.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, Jack was talking about it last night. I love the home and home because it creates that type of playoff atmosphere where teams are playing. Right, you're going against the same team a couple nights in a row. Emotional aspect of the game that you don't always see.
Well, there was like the Fordieski hit on Vetrano, yes. And you see Chara go in and literally bring him to the brink of death and pull him back. He gave him the option to die or not.
That was what he whispered.
And he chose to spare. He chose.
I could have killed you.
He chose to spare his life. Like that's the stuff that happens in these games. And that was fucking awesome.
I think it's good for the league. I think that they were talking about it last night. It'd be a good thing to.
They're playing again on the 9th.
See more. Yeah, great.
Yeah,
great.
Quater got his rocks off at the end there. Yep. You know, God knows he needs that. He needs sexual release every now and then.
Exactly. He's got to drop those gloves every once in a while.
Millsy got your 10-minute misconduct for John there. A little bit of an eye gouge there on Neil, though.
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't like that.
No, I didn't either.
I didn't like that too much. But
will that be viewed? Any talk on that?
No, they're saying the only disciplinary action coming out of that's going to be the Marchand clip, which I believe, let me double check here. I believe he was going in for a hearing about an hour ago at 4:30 Eastern Standard. So right now we're at 5:30. So I'm going to do a quick check here. This is the kind of stuff we do.
We got information coming to you live.
This is live information. I mean, obviously, you're not going to be listening to it live, so we're not breaking anything, but it's more breaking it for ourselves. Bruins winger, no, nothing.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Still nothing. Nothing. He's clearly still in the hearing as we speak. So I don't know. We'll see how that is. I'm not really going to speculate too much on that.
No.
Whatever. It was nice to see him wearing an A. That's about it. Well deserved, I say.
I agree. All right. So that's kind of what's happened. Do you think we're good to move on to?
I think so. Yeah. We're kind of shooting from the cuff here. I mean,
we are. Yeah. This episode was really more about kind of a loose feel, and I think there's an opportunity when we're sitting right in front of each other to have more back and forth without needing as much structure. But really,
we're on vacation.
And we're on vacation. But the significance of Friday's game is huge, and I think we wanted to spend a lot of time focusing on that. And I think, Matt, I know we grew up skating outside together, and the Winter Classic is maybe my favorite sporting event of the year.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a special, special event, and the majority of people don't really understand how special it is, but to have it be your team, playing it in your city, it's an awesome, awesome thing. And we actually, after we wrap this up, what are we doing after this, Matt?
We're gonna go skate outside a bit. We're gonna play a little pond hockey,
play a little pickup down in Portsmouth. So
yeah, so pretty excited.
So Matt, talk to me. I mean, what is it about this event that some of the non-hockey playing fans don't understand? What makes this event so special?
Yeah, I think it's kind of to your point. It's just kind of that base level feeling of playing outside again, right? Like. Most of us, and I don't know about the kids now. I think a lot of the kids now don't do it as much. It's a little bit more. I think it's probably a little bit more structured all the way through than it was when we were coming up. Like obviously, we all played together on, organized teams and things like that. But at the same time, you know, we used to, you know, when we were kids, you'd go out on the pond on, you know, most days after school, you'd leave your skates in the corner, go over and skate on the pond, everything like that. And so we all grew up playing outdoors, as did, I think, a lot of the guys who are playing in the league right now. So mm-hmm. there's kind of this, you know, you kind of get a little bit excited. You get that itch a little bit when it gets cold outside to get out there and get on the ponds. Like, I know I do. I live in D.C. now, so I don't have the opportunity to do it aside from coming up here for Christmas. So, like, anytime I get the opportunity to skate outside, you're just giddy, you know. It's you play a little bit more open. There's fucking no defense. It's just a lot of, you know, you try things, you have fun, you can do it for hours, you can feel like you can skate all day. So I think it's just that mentality that carries over to that. And obviously it's a real game, right?
Like, sure.
It counts for the standings. It's a rivalry game. So there's
a huge
that. Yeah, there's
it's a
that
huge
aspect.
Game.
There's the notion of playing in front of 70,000 people live. Like, mm-hmm. these guys are keyed in for this. Like, they're excited for it. And for people, like, I know I heard Tony Amonte saying, I hate the Winter Classic. Like, it's just another game. The players don't care about it. That's not
true. That's not true at all.
That's absolutely
false. That's not
false.
True at all.
Like, they're fired up.
They are.
They like to wear the fuzzy hats during warm-ups
yeah.
and shit. Like, they like the eye black.
There's definitely a large amount of nostalgia.
That's it. That's the
game.
Biggest thing.
It's, like you said, in our generation, and I still think to an extent, many times the first time people skate is outside on frozen.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people hold a hockey stick on a pond for the first time, and then they say, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind playing hockey. So the game is learned outside. And so to bring it full circle, years and years of structure and organization to play outside, it's just this this special nostalgic feeling.
Well, to draw like a comparison, it's like guys playing basketball and like in their, you know, in their driveway,
yeah,
playing
sure.
football in the yard. It's
sure.
the same thing. You need a sheet of ice somewhere to start,
yeah.
and that's kind of where it happens. So it's awesome. One of the funny things I was doing, I was looking at, like, and this kind of speaks to NHL. I think can be a little bit cheap with some of the stuff, like in terms of who they get to do things. I was looking at, like, the lineup and the activities and the concerts and everything. Terrible.
Not good.
Just really, really god
awful. And right up the top of the list is who's not singing the national anthem.
We've been over this. I'm fucking livid.
Rene Raincourt, for those of you who don't know, Boston Bruins national anthem singer, it will not be performing the anthem at Gillette
Stadium. He's been singing the anthem at Bruins games when he can, which is almost every game since, like, the 70s,
like,
or something.
Way before we were Bruins fans.
Yeah.
Or alive,
yeah. Like, look, it's insane.
Somehow, his hair, though, has not changed color, so we need to do an investigative report
on
natural.
That. It's natural.
He's got whatever he's doing, we need to all get on board.
Yeah,
especially you. You gotta see what
I'm
he's
going,
doing.
I'm going gray. So that's, dude, the guy's 76 years old.
Yeah.
He got shut out on the last one. Like, give him this.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake.
And can I ask another question? So, they have the guy from The Voice, who I didn't know who he was. What was his name? It is...
I don't watch
The Jordan Voice. Smith. Guy's got pipes. I don't watch The Voice, but I looked him up because he's the one who's standing for Renee. He's got pipes. He can sing. But the other one's shit. So they have a separate guy singing the Canadian National Anthem. It's the emo band Simple Plan.
Nah.
Yeah. This
from
is
like 1998?
Yeah.
No.
So this is like the third time I've seen...
Are they Canadian?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like the third time
French?
I've seen, maybe, I've seen Simple Plan do something like this. I've seen them play twice on Hockey Night in Canada, like leading into hockey. So my question is, why do they always, like, if you're going, okay, we have hockey, Canada, music, fuck yeah, Simple Plan. Are we that limited? Like, is it Simple Plan or Nickelback?
I was just going to say, isn't Nickelback Canadian?
How about
thankfully, they didn't get them.
That would have sucked. Like, what about Rush? Like, let's get Rush in there. It wouldn't be a dry seat in the house if Rush were playing. Get Geddy Lee out there. But anyways, that's just kind of a little side thing. I'm really fired up.
I couldn't be more excited for this game.
And it means something, right? Like, if they win this game, if they, regardless of what happens between now and then, if they win this game at the end of day one of the new year, they will be in first place in the division.
Exactly.
Playing Washington on Tuesday.
Right.
Which, it's awesome. It's like, who would have, like, would you have thought going into the season that going into the Winter Classic, we would have an opportunity to jump Montreal, and I guess Florida's in first place now, but we would have a chance to jump Montreal and be in first place in the Atlantic.
No, I can tell you just the opposite.
Yeah.
When we had that slow start, and we were talking about getting tickets and it didn't work out, I was thinking to myself, I don't want to go to this game and watch Montreal walk all over the Bruins.
Yeah. And then
at the time, that was a serious possibility.
And then it merged into just not wanting to spend like $300 or $400 to sit in the nosebleeds in the corner.
I would have spent the money. To me, it was the the aggravation of getting in and out of July.
Well, that was what I was going to say, without a DUI.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of rolling the dice on that. Because
I will be getting a DUI from my recliner on Friday.
Yeah.
I will be operating that thing while intoxicated.
Yeah,
you're going
to be just shaking the little handle on the thing. But
you can get out of control.
But like the best case scenario is we're drawing straws for someone to DD, and that's not happening. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not dry. I wouldn't be drinking. Like, even if I drew the short straw, I'm drinking.
I would toss a fit. I would go 3-year-old, and I'd be like, well, I'm not doing it. It's not fair.
No, you just go, well, fine, I'm going to drink. And you just start hauling things, and you force the hands. You force the hands.
That's a Tom Frasca strategy. Maybe he'll listen to this if I tell him to call out.
We'll just get really drunk and make, so you're off the table as, like as a DD.
He'd be like, oh, okay, fine, I'll be the drunk driver. And then he just gets wasted.
Yeah, that's...
Did he's much that's more like, he's much more mature. It's
that's the equivalent of like a college age tantrum. Like, you're gonna make me be the CD? Fine, fuck you, I'm drinking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's probably the biggest thing, and I'm not. Yeah, that was the biggest thing.
So then let's kind of talk more about the game. Mm-hmm. Let's be a little more specific about the game itself. What are you looking at, Matt, as the keys for both directions? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for this Bruins team to do is kind of continue what they're doing right, like what they've done over the last couple games, which is get a lot of pucks on net.
If it's not broke.
Exactly. Heavy forecheck, physicality. I think you need to try to bully this team a little bit. And I know that's kind of...
They're not a heavy team.
They're not.
They're a quick, lighter team.
Exactly. But I think we have the speed to keep up with them.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I look at guys like... So let's say we look at guys like Vetrano, Ferraro, Ronaldo. Guys like that, guys who can skate with them, but will also hit the shit out of anything that moves. Like, yep. I think they're going to be
big factors
in that game. So I look at kind of that as the biggest thing, is putting pressure on Condon, putting pressure on a defensive unit and a goaltender who I don't think is particularly confident at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sputtering right now, and they can't score goals.
No.
So if you keep things up defensively and push them around a little bit, you're going to be fine. But at the same time, I think you have to take into account the occasion, right? Can't get too fired up. That's one thing I think Felger makes a really good point at over and over again. And this team actually this year, because it's a little bit different, it could just be the absence of a guy like Lucic, where we're not running around like crazed animals every single time we play Montreal, and you know, puffing our chests out and being absolute animals every time we play them. You know, I think the biggest thing is going to be to kind of make sure you're hitting everything, you're playing physical, but it's dialed back and it's under control. And I think that...
Controlled physicality.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the biggest thing with them. But then being careful of them playing the occasion, right? Like, they're going to be fired up. You're going to get a guy like Dale Weiss running around hitting things. If Gallagher comes back, that's a major factor. If Marchand's out, that's again a big factor
as well.
That's a
huge factor if he's out.
So I don't think you can really read too much into... you know, psyche and mentality, but the biggest thing is going to be, I think, getting pucks on net and playing off the lack of confidence defensively.
Yeah, and you said it right. Wouldn't change a word there. For me, I think the keys of this game are injuries, believe it or not.
Yeah.
You just touched upon Brandon Gallagher, whether or not he plays. He is a prolific scorer, and he hasn't played in a long time, but he can be effective. So look for that in the injury report. Krejci being out is huge, obviously. We talked about guys needing to step up, how this team has struggled without him in the past. But the key injury, and you just touched upon this a bit too, is Carey Price. Condon has been, he's been good, frankly, he has. But he's not tested. He's never seen, I mean, in all honesty, this is playoff atmosphere. This is a mid-season Super Bowl, if you will. So Tuukka has gone the way, and he's played in playoff games. He knows what this atmosphere is going to be like. Condon, is he a rookie? He's a rookie, I think.
Yeah, he is.
Rookie, he's never...
Where's he at? Cornell?
No, I think he was Princeton.
Was it Princeton? He was a local guy. He went to Princeton, and then he was playing like the SPHL, at, like ECHL and everything.
And then absolutely nothing against him, but... The Bell Center, obviously they have a rowdy crowd and you see some crazy games in there, but nothing like a playoff atmosphere in a crowded NFL stadium. So triple the amount of people they can cram into the Bell Center.
How much of a factor do you think like the elements are going to play, especially for goaltenders, like tracking the puck, things like that?
Sure.
And this is one thing I've heard, like playing outdoors, like having the stands be so far back and the amount of space behind the glass, it makes it weird kind of picking up the puck
Yeah. Well, I know that where did they play 2 years ago where the seats were black? I know that was an issue.
They were in Philly? Washington last year. Yeah, they're in Philly.
Yeah. They were wearing their alternative jerseys.
Yeah. So they've had that problem in Brooklyn too.
Well, that's another issue. But no, it can be an issue, and I think probably for goalies more than anyone. You also kind of see it's going to be like 40 degrees in Boston, which shouldn't be too bad. Those coolers have generators.
And the weather's nice and cold.
If it gets a little warmer on the surface, that ice can slow down. It can get choppy. You see weird bounces.
Yep.
That's the other thing is that those boards haven't been put together very long.
Yeah,
you can see funky bounces off the stanchions and stuff like that. So it's always a factor. It's always something they try as best they can to reduce those. But, hey, it's an outdoor setup. It can definitely happen.
You think we're going to get a fight in it? I feel like everybody always wants to fight in there. Who's it going to be?
I wouldn't. I think it depends on the way the game's going. If it's a close game, we may not see it. Again, talking more about that playoff atmosphere where no one wants to sit for five. But I'd look to a guy like Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Ronaldo or like Talbot. Luis
or something.
Yeah.
Luis is scoring goals, though.
He is.
I can't stand him. He's kind of a prick.
I don't want to see Chara dropping the gloves.
No.
I look to one of those kind of role player guys who want to get involved.
I think they might try it early emotionally. On. Like if it makes sense early, and it's just kind of a little bit of a cagey affair to start off with. I think they might just try to do it to wake the crowd. Not that the crowd's going to need waking up necessarily, but I mean you saw it in Philly when was it Carcillo and Thornton dropped the gloves on like the first shift out there, and it was just more for show, right?
Sure.
Like, they go out there like, okay, cool, this is fun. Let's go out and give them some.
And you say these fans don't need to get into it, but you have to think events like this do bring out the pink hatters.
Oh yeah.
So you know it'd be you're right to your point. It'd be good to get people involved early so that there's a
like a scrap.
Yeah.
Like a scrap.
Why not? Drop them in the opening faceoff. Get over with.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, I couldn't be more excited. It really is the Super Bowl of my year, and
it's always fun.
I was watching last year's Road to the Winter Classic, and I don't know why, I just got like teared up. It's just it's a special event, and it's something I look forward to.
I was extremely drunk milling around the stadium in Washington last year. It was great. Unlike Gillette, the baseball stadium down in DC is kind of right in a good central area and within walking distance of my apartment. So
just kind of strolled down.
I had a couple drinks. I met up with a couple guys I play beer league with. I play beer league with a bunch of Canadian guys that work at the casino up in Maryland. So I met them outside, and you could actually get into the outdoor like pregame thing for free.
Nice.
It's great. They have this little area called the bullpen outside of the. You gotta come down to a game sometime, like a baseball game.
Yeah.
You don't even have to go to the game. You just go, you swipe your ID. It's basically like being in a bar, and there's a shitload of food trucks and
is it dissimilar from the Philly setup?
It's a little different, but kind of the same idea. Like, you can just go in there, and
you don't have to go for the game. There's
you just hang
up
there,
and
then, like, if you want to go to the baseball game, spend like $10, get a ticket. Like, I don't even sit in my seat at games there. So I went and put around there and had a good time. Last time they were in Boston, I believe, we were down in Boston. We're a little bit younger than that.
The Winter Classic?
That was 6 years ago.
I was at school.
No, you were there. We did New Year's in Boston.
No, I was at school.
You sure about that?
I'm positive. I worked that year.
I thought you drove back the morning of.
I'm almost positive I was in Boston. I was in Burlington because, and sad as it, I've rewatched the game, but I did fall asleep.
I got too excited and I was way too hungover. For the game, I was at.
I will have a Bloody Mary, but then I won't start drinking until the game.
Well, so my problem was I did New Year's at our admin guy Pat, our Vietnamese admin guy Pat, who's a son of a bitch.
Yeah, really hasn't done a lot for us.
Do nothing, but he had a place in Boston at the time, and I had a little too much fun on New Year's Eve. Now Pat, our admin guy, fell down some stairs. We bopped around Calm Ave. The police showed up. Told us to calm down, and long story short, I drank my ass off as a young buck, and wasn't even able to go to the bar to watch the game. I spent the entire time on his couch watching it, periodically vomiting. So that was that was my experience the last time around. I'm very much committed to not doing it this year.
No,
So that's kind of a thing.
So what's next, dude?
I don't know. I don't know. What games do we have to look forward to? We have Washington.
Yep.
I would say Washington and Ottawa are the only two games I'm really looking forward to immediately after. Washington is going to be a good game.
I think so. Where is the game?
It's here. It's in Boston. They already played in D.C. I wasn't able to go to that game.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember why. I think I just didn't. The last like three times I've seen them play in Washington, they've just gotten thumped and haven't scored goals. And so I'm sick of spending $60.
Holtby has a weird space in their head.
It's weird, right? Yeah.
It goes back to 2012.
Yeah.
When they beat us in the opening round of the playoffs.
It's true. They did beat them the one time they played in Washington the year after that, because I brought the big guy down to see it and we won. But other than that, he hasn't given up a goal, which is insane.
It is wild.
So that's one I got circled on my calendar, as well as Ottawa, for obvious reasons.
I'll tell you one I got circled is January 16th against Toronto. Mm.
Who got a Christmas present?
I got a nice Christmas present from the little lady.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll be attending the game.
Toronto's always a good game.
Hey, it's a conference game.
Toronto, don't sleep on Toronto, not this year, but next year.
Babcock.
Babcock's awesome. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that they're making Mike Babb socks?
No.
They just have like his face on them, and they call them Babb socks.
That's brilliant.
I mean, I want a pair, except I don't like Toronto, but I just like the idea of Babb socks.
Mm-hmm.
So those are cool, but they might get Stamkos.
I heard that.
They have a shitload of money.
He's from Toronto. Yeah, and he wants to play for Babcock. I heard that floating around the rumor mill.
He's done. I mean, he's done in Tampa.
Yeah,
Tampa's a mess.
They are.
Good lord. But yeah. Anyway, hold on a second.
Oh, what's that?
I hear something.
I know what that is. That's not Hank this time.
It's not?
Believe it or not.
Hold on a second. Holy shit. It's been a hell of a long time.
It's the love boat.
It's Thordy and Tuca's love boat. They're pulling back into port. They've been out for God knows how long. You know what I think? The reason we haven't done a pod in so long is because we let Lyndon Byers on the love boat. And he's just taking them off to international waters to just do terrible things.
They've been floating around, bobbing around probably with a bunch of hookers and
a ton of
drugs
hookers.
And shit.
A ton of hookers and drugs.
Crazy.
But yeah, so I know it's been a while, but for the fans who don't remember, Sean Thornton and Tuukka Rask purchased a boat together when they were both still in Boston. Now, Thordy still lives in Boston in the offseason. He comes up frequently. Obviously, he's still, he's a guy who lives in Charlestown. He plans on retiring in the area, which is great. We love Thordy. But him and Tuukka became...
He'll be an honorary Bruin forever.
He's honorary Bruin forever. We should have retired a fucking number.
Yeah.
We'll just, put it somewhere else.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be in the rafters. Just put it somewhere. Him and Tuukka became kind of a little bit of an odd couple. They're little buddies. There's a picture of them that when they went to a ranch one time and did horseback riding together. It's really weird. But the two of them purchased a boat to cruise around the harbor with. Neither of them had a boating license at the time, but they purchased the boat anyways. So every week we like to induct a former Bruins legend into our personal Bruins and Two Beers Hall of Fame, which we call Thordy and Tuukka's Love Boat. Now, everybody we induct, we do give them the option to come and collect a bedazzled monogrammed sailor's hat, and to my knowledge, nobody's done it right.
Let me double check that.
We have a stack of them.
No, we still have them all.
They're right here. They're in this very dining room. Nobody's done it. So, anyways, this week we welcome aboard Bruins legend. Guy who I didn't personally get a chance to see too much because I think he retired when I was one. But still, a guy I was very much familiar with and actually have a couple of his autographs because he is an autograph whore, no offense. But none other than Rick Nifty Middleton. Do you have a Rick Middleton autograph?
I don't have
a Rick Middleton. I feel like everybody gets a Rick because he's the guy who actually runs the Bruins alumni team. So look for him actually tomorrow in the
tomorrow.
Alumni game.
Is that? 5 o'clock game?
Yeah, I think he's going to be playing. So Rick Middleton was born in Toronto, Ontario, on August, I'm pulling it up right now, 4th, or December 4th, 1953. This is the amount of preparation we've done. He was selected 14th overall in the 73 amateur draft by the New York Rangers, coming from the Oshawa Generals. Speaking of Sean Thornton, who also played for the Oshawa Generals. A little bit of a connection there. Dude, he put up, let me tell you his numbers in his last season in junior with the Oshawa Generals. So this is in the the former OHA, now the OHL. He played 62 games for Oshawa. He scored 67 goals and had 70 assists for 137 points in 62 fucking games.
Wow.
Those are ridiculous numbers.
Those are basketball numbers.
That's just not even fair. Just ridiculous. So anyways, he went on, played for the Rangers. The Rangers kind of got a little bit impatient with the way he played. He was definitely, hence the name Nifty, he was a little flashy, great skater, good stick handle, everything like that. Long story short, after a couple years, the Rangers trade him to the Bruins for Ken Hodge. Ken Hodge is an absolute legend with the Bruins, but at the time he was old. He was slow, he was old, he wasn't producing. They trade him for Ken Hodge. The idea was they want to bring in Ken Hodge to play with Esposito and to kind of rekindle some of the stuff he was doing with the Bruins like 10 years earlier. It didn't work out, and basically Middleton just ended up putting up monster numbers with the Bruins. So he came in, became a major fan favorite. Not the most physical guy in the world, but extremely skilled. Great skater, great stick handler. If you want to talk about like his physicality, the guy in over 1,000 NHL career games, he only had 157 penalty minutes total. It's not a lot.
No, it's not.
No. Pretty impressive. But basically, you know, Middleton ended up teaming up really, really well with Barry Peterson, who we all know from Nessun. He's on Nessun a lot. He's on the Instigators.
Right.
And he was the top scorer for the Bees between 1979 and 1984 every single year. He scored 38 goals, 40 goals, 44 goals, 51 goals, 49 goals, and 47 goals in all of those years. Incredible numbers. The fact that he's not in the Hall of Fame is baffling. But, you know, like I said, he ended up putting up monster numbers throughout his career, played in 1,005 career NHL games, scoring 448 goals and 998 points total, which is crazy. So he barely missed the 500 goal, 1,000 mm-hmm. point plateau, which are generally kind of considered the benchmark for the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
But you got to think at one point or another, he's getting into the Hall of Fame. He's had some monster years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he was with the Bruins for well over 10 years. So, you know, he's a guy that I always looked to as, you know, as you know, one of the legends. You know,
sure.
This guy had his autograph when I was younger. I went and saw an alumni game, got his autograph later. He wrote the exact same thing like 10 years later. So he clearly writes a lot of autographs, but that's beside the point. He's, you know, heading up the alumni team, go out, see the alumni game. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome aboard Rick Middleton, Nifty. Great guy.
Welcome aboard.
Raise a glass to Nifty.
And probably with that, we'll send you off here.
Yeah. I think that's cheers and chug. Let's let
cheers
Nifty sail off into the sunset of immortality, go away, and we'll be back with you hopefully soon. We're gonna kind of try to do this a little bit more. We're gonna have a little bit more free time now. It's been great.
Yeah, you know, I think we're definitely down the stretch. Look for us to be more frequent, but you know, we love doing this as much as you guys love hearing it. So we want to be there for you.
All right.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Cheers.
Cheers. Adios, guys.